At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPerksonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.
Ghost Island Media.
Hi, welcome to In Training. This is a podcast by interns at Ghost Island Media. Here, we make episodes on anything we want to. And we do it from scratch. From brainstorming to recording to editing. This show, it's different, it's spontaneous, and it's kind of an experiment. There's something for everyone, and here it is.
Regardless of who or where you are, you have heard of podcasts. I mean, you're listening to one right now. Today, there are 1.6 million podcasts on Apple Podcasts. As we reach the first anniversary of COVID at time of this recording, people have been so lonely and bored that an average of 3,000 podcasts got added to Apple Podcasts every day in the past month and a half. People just want to be heard. And podcasts are easy to make. They are cheap, they don't require much experience, and clearly don't require any editing and writing. Bad at spelling? Don't start a blog. Camera shy? Forget YouTube. Not funny? Get off TikTok. Not an influencer? Delete your Instagram. Well, now you only have Facebook. Therefore, podcasts are the easiest and most effective way to get yourself heard. And we know, because here at Ghost Island Media, we make podcasts. Today, we head to a podcast convention. It is definitely in person, as we are in Taiwan, where COVID has been under control. Since May, Taiwan has had two mega raves, a whole baseball season with spectators, movie premieres, club openings, even an indoor mini golf course opening. And most importantly, today, a podcast convention, PodCon 2020. As someone who loves conventions, I decided to head to PodCon and investigate. Who are these people? What do they look like? I know what they sound like. I've been to a gaming con, a comic con, and now I wonder who goes to a podcast con. The organizers had a really hard time finding a central, convenient, safe, and soundproof location in Taipei suited to every podcaster's needs. A mysterious anonymous sponsor provided a perfect location. And here we were, in an underground military bunker. This is easily one of the most soundproof places in Taipei, and it protects all the very important podcasters from earthquakes and war.
To all attendees, please keep your mask on at all times. Unless you are speaking into a microphone. In that case, have a fun podcasting experience.
As I entered PodCon, I was immediately overwhelmed. It was loud, crowded, and there was just so much going on. And a lot of interesting sights. The first thing I saw was a soundproof dome made specifically for recording ASMR. In front of the dome, I saw a woman who looked a bit out of place. She didn't seem very shy or sensual, like most ASMR podcasters are. She's holding a box of giant blue gummy bears, ready to talk to anyone, excited. So I went up to talk to her.
Hello, my name is Pooh Bear, and this podcast is, I created this about a year ago when I decided to buy a scooter. Because, you know, when you're commuting in Taiwan, It's always a lot easier to travel by scooter, right? So the reason why I decided to make this a podcast is because of ASMR.
Okay, I see. So do you want a mic to be closer to you? Is that like something that you're more comfortable with? Since I know that a lot of I've met a lot of ASMR podcasters around here, and they really like to, you know, the distance from the mic, very, very close, very, very intimate.
Yeah, I think that helps me sleep. That's also the reason why. So like different reasons I wanted to buy a scooter, also because I like ASMR, right? After like about maybe 6 months in, we decided that the podcast is not mainly going to be about the scooter because there is a problem, right? I was going to buy scooters that, you know, they take fuel, right? But it's not good for the environment. So then later on, I decided to get Gogoro. Right? The biggest problem with Gogoro is they always run out of battery, right? So after that, I decided that I am going to figure out the way to charge Gogoro, right? Because I don't want to go to stations and keep changing the batteries. It's too much work. So I discovered a method. You can charge it with gummy bears. Gummy bears can actually become chargers of Gogoro. So yeah, you were saying recording some sounds from Gogoro, right? And when you're charging with gummy bears, they make a sound like so people like that. You need like a special machine that you can get on Amazon for $100, okay? It's super cheap. I think it's a guy called Tecomomo that he invented this machine.
And what does this device look like? Like, where do you put the gummy bears in? How does this whole process work? Could you, like, explain it?
Oh, you can just put it, you know, in... When you're riding a scooter, there's always a space in the front, right? Your leg room. So I guess the downside of it is that you're going to have less of leg room. Because even though we're talking about gummy bears, right? But we're not talking about tiny gummy bears. We're talking about giant gummy bears. You need two or three giant gummy bears to actually help you ride around Taiwan, right? So is it actually better than going to stations for the actual batteries? I think it is, because it's cool. Because whenever I'm riding around, people take pictures of me. I even got interviewed by TVBS the other day.
And as opposed to having a regular powered Gogoro, why do you think the gummy bear powered Gogoro makes a difference in a podcast sense?
It's kind of like gummy bears are speaking to you, right? It feels like when I'm riding, I am not alone because I have gummy bears talking to me. That's how I feel. And it's a very, very magical thing for the kids, for me, and for my listeners. Right now, if you wanna make your podcast big, you have to do something different. So I think the gummy bear charger battery thingy, I think it's something new, something different, because nobody else in Taiwan does this, right? So sometimes when I'm driving around, when I see people, they need food, you know, there are people there or kids, they want treats, I share my gummy bear with them, even though I'll be losing my power. But then when I see their happy faces, and sometimes I interview them on my podcast as well, like I ask them how you feel. They feel like they are very, very happy, and they just feel joy, pure joy, because you're eating a giant gummy bear.
Pooh Bear's interview reminded me of the self-made nature of podcasts and how even the most mundane things, like a scooter commute, could become so interesting. I walked past the dome and visited a variety of booths, including one that thinks virtual podcasters will be the future. Next to it, though, was a curious thing. A small, closed recording booth set up with a glass window. I peeked inside and saw a variety of mayonnaise. Everywhere, some spread on the floor, others in bottles placed on tables for viewing purposes. There was an option to wear plastic bags on your shoes as you entered the booth. So I decided to embark on my adventure and keep my feet clean. I entered the booth and saw a man with mayonnaise all over his shirt, standing in front of a microphone. His odor reminded me of mayonnaise.
So hello, tell us your name and a little bit about your podcast.
Hi, my name is Rash, and I am a mayonnaise enthusiast. I run a podcast about mayonnaise. and all of its different shades and varieties and textures and flavors.
And so being in Taiwan, what is your, I guess, like, there's a lot of different cultural mayonnaises in Taiwan, kind of like there's like Japanese mayonnaise, there's Taiwanese mayonnaise, there's like, you know, there's American mayonnaise. Like, how do you feel about, I guess, being in Taiwan and being exposed to these different cultural mayonnaises?
I think it's actually a revelation. It's one of the reasons I came to Taiwan. Mayonnaise here is a beautiful thing. I've gone to various different regions and sampled house-made mayonnaise from different eggs. And you can taste really the food that the chicken was eating when it produced the egg, or the regional differences between these things, as well as experimenting with different types of rice vinegar. So you can really just taste the mayonnaise and taste the place that it was made at.
Now, tell us a little bit about the format of your podcast. Do you just eat mayonnaise and taste it, or do you ever do anything else with mayonnaise, like useful, like use it as a, I guess, a tool or something of utility?
So I typically will recommend mayonnaise for your hair. It's a great way to moisturize your skin and hair. It's also great for a primer if you're about to paint a wall. But I typically tend to eat it or look at it or smell it or admire it.
Okay. And I was wondering, like, what do you do for a living to fund your, I guess, mayonnaise passion?
I run a leather-based OnlyFans account. I have lots of different leather. It's actually why I got into mayonnaise in the first place. I was doing this leather account and making a name for myself in the leather community when suddenly I realized, like, what am I doing? I have this creative writing degree, and am I really putting that to use being this leather daddy online? And the answer that I found was no. And so I decided to pursue my passion, which is various condiments. So I switched to mayonnaise full time, and I tried to convert my OnlyFans into a mayonnaise-based account.
I see. And you say, so as you were running your OnlyFans, were you, I guess, like, were you involved in, and your condiments, like, kind of passion, are you involved in communities here that also love condiments and specifically mayonnaise? Are there other people like you? What are your list? What is your listener base like?
There are literally like dozens of us. Like, there are a significant number. Like, when you go to a supermarket, if you go to the condiments aisle, you'll typically see one of us there. So if you see somebody walking around the mayonnaise aisle with their clothes covered in mayonnaise, you'll know it's one of us. So that's typically who I try to aim for.
Because I had my fair share of like toxic communities and fandoms. I was wondering, like, is the condiments fandom as toxic as people might think some of these specific communities would be?
I think that the mayonnaise community is generally pretty welcoming. Mayonnaise in general promotes a sense of good vibes, good microbial status. It's a fermented product. Mustard tends to be a little bit more stick to themselves. However, they can recognize the autonomy of other condiments. I find that ketchup, because it's so mainstream, tends to over-encompass and overstep and say that ketchup is like the main player in this arena, when in fact it's much more diverse, as I've talked about earlier. And pickles and relish, I don't really know much about them, but all the people that I've interacted with are typically conspiracy theorists.
I see. And like, well, do you have any advice for people who would like to get into condiments or mayonnaise in specific?
I'd say start small. A lot of people want to jump into this head first, as was a frequent request on my OnlyFans account when I was running the mayonnaise version, that I jump into a tub of mayonnaise head first. But I think that you should start small, start local, try to find two or three different mayonnaises that you consistently like, and then grow your library from there. And it's a learning process and a growing process. The exchange of power with the mayonnaise is something that you really have to ease into. So by trying to go too quickly, you might just end up hurting your own feelings.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
RAS's unique subject matter goes to show that there are communities that we just don't know about. And they are getting together through the power of podcasts, getting their voices heard. Powerful. I left the booth realizing that I do not like mayonnaise at all. The highlight of the convention was the Saturday night concert, Podcast Palooza, where they get the hottest podcast hosts to do a live show on a music festival grade stage overground. There were thousands of people watching and cheering for their favorite hosts. There was also, you guessed it, a beer garden. I'd imagine people being tired after a whole day of networking and podcasting, but no. No one parties like a group of podcasters after a whole day of recording. One man came up to me at the beer garden and requested an interview. He was not, in fact, walking straight.
Yo, my name is Rad. Some people call me RDO. And, you know, I'm kind of in the flow right now and having fun. What's up, man?
Yeah, how are you doing? So we are, I guess, like, you know, what's your podcast about? Tell us about podcasting.
So me and my bros, yo, we just like one day got high and we were just like, yo, what happens if we just add little tiny cute flip-flops on a peacock and all we do is feed it coleslaw? Let's see what happens. Let's just see where this goes. It's so...
You are aware that weed is illegal in Taiwan.
Well, we're just feeding it coleslaw.
Cool. Okay, so tell me a little bit about your... what an average episode sounds like of your podcast. You know, like, what are you doing here in Taiwan? Like, what do you do for a living?
Oh, so like, yo, I teach English, and yeah, I teach English, yo. Oh, so random story. One night, you know, I just like, it's kind of on a U-bike, you know, no pants on, and I just wanted to feel the breezes, you know, it just felt nice against my skin. And then I just saw something moving in the bush one day, and it looked really colorful. And I just like colors, red in particular. Red's a really good color for me. And I just reached for it, and then something just hit me, something really sharp. And I was like, what the heck is this? And it turns out it was a peacock. And it was in the middle of having sex with another peacock. So I was like, yo, let's just bring these two buggers home and see what the hell happens. Because I got to watch this shit.
So there are two peacocks.
Yeah, there's two peacocks in my house.
Those two peacocks. Do you put them both in flip-flops and feed them both coleslaw? Or do you like kind of do experiments with the two?
I do experiments. I like to role play with them sometimes, and then like to film. It's like watching a TV show. It's like a new episode of Family Guy, peacock style.
Do you think that is a way you want to expand your podcast into something more theatrical and something more episodic?
Yeah. So what I do is like I film each role play, you know, and then I kind of do like peacock voiceovers, and it'll be like, I want some food tonight. And then the wife would be like,
you pay the rent first before I give you food.
You voice the peacocks.
I voice the peacocks. I'm like a peacock shaman. Yeah, I would like to consider myself one of those.
You can speak to the peacocks.
Oh, they speak to me. They speak to me. And they reveal a lot of deep, dark secrets, you know? Sometimes I can't tell you. I can't reveal all of the secrets, but I can tell you one thing is that one of them's having an affair.
Scandalous.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to say, but that person's a female. Or that animal would be female. I'm not trying to out anyone, but I'm just saying, what a bitch.
Wow. And what would you say your audience is mainly? Is it, I assume this is, very soap opera-y. Do you think the, kind of like the fan, the fans, like, cross over, or they're more animal enthusiasts and more soap opera enthusiasts? Like, what is the audience like? What is your target audience?
I would say our show is a mix of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians and the Discovery Channel. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, and I'll expect to see you guys soon, right? All right.
Of course, we'd listen in to your podcast. What is your podcast name again?
That would be the P Show.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
P Show out.
Rad is a talented man, and we are glad that he is here to share his talents to the world with podcasts. I think what I got out of this convention is that right now, it is hard for some people to continue with their lives. In a world where some people can't even leave their houses, being young and ambitious sometimes means being in your own room, getting in front of a microphone and talking about something you and two other people are passionate about. And that's okay. In fact, that's the embodiment of making progress in life, allowing yourself to be happy by expressing your thoughts, whether it's to an audience of thousands or just you. Because of the power of technology, you can now connect to these people anytime. It's beautiful when you think of it, right? And all you need is a microphone, and a computer, and a good editing software, and sometimes you have to write a script. And then you might need money to get all this. You know what, maybe this is harder than I think. Maybe I'm just privileged enough to be in a company that gives me this platform and...
Hey, don't leave just yet. Stick around after the credits for words from our executive producers. This episode was produced, written, edited, and narrated by Claudia Sheng, performed by Winnie Liao, Liam Fanning, and Hubert Tran. Production coordinated by Trevor Liu, executively produced by Ghost Island Media. Special thanks to Blue for providing Yeti microphone and Future Ward for providing the recording room. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Hey, it's Emily Waibu here. All of the acting you've heard in this episode were done by improv. So Claudia found actors in Taipei and directed their improv. This was a segment that could have made or break the episode. And we were so delighted to see the result. It was hilarious. To give a bit of an insight into the process, Claudia came up with this idea that she wanted to make a satirical news piece on the state of podcasting. So there would be a bit of market research, but most of the episode would take place in this fictional podcast convention. And in it, we would interview hilarious people talking about podcasting. All the improv you heard, they were given different words of prompts, and these prompts were given by the Ghost Island Media team. This was a really fun episode for us to listen to. It was fun to make. It was a joy to listen to. And quite a departure from what Claudia had done before. So we thought that was really interesting tracking her progress. If you were around for the first season of In Training, you would have heard Claudia's first episode, an English episode, which it was a personal essay about films she loved. In her second episode, she took it up a notch, and it was an interview reporting style news piece on K-pop trainees in Taiwan. We thought it was really cool that she went out and found 14-year-old K-pop trainee in a K-pop preparatory school. And so for this one, she said she wanted to do something fictional and satirical, which we loved. We thought it was really fun. And in building out the world of PodCon, initially... she had written out a much bigger world, but when the result of the improv actors came back, it became apparent that none of it was necessary. So we kept only a little bit of the PodCon world. I think it's very tricky trying to make something really funny because everybody has a different type of sense of humor. And I really love that Claudia didn't go slapstick with this particular episode. And that's the best kind of new satire, is something that's grounded in reality, and yet she pushes the boundary and has her own interpretation. But I also loved how she brought us back down to earth with her final 2 minutes of reflections, which gave it a really nice wrap to the entire piece. And yeah, so we can't wait to hear where she takes her fourth episode. Stay tuned.